Praise the Lord. Would you tonight open the precious Word of God to the book of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark. Please be much in prayer about Sunday, the month of February, and be looking at messages geared towards the home, relationships, family. The pillar of our society is the home. One out of every three children born in America is born in a one-parent home. Think of that. One-parent home. One out of three children born are born in a home with just one parent. And God's design. You know, think of this. We live in a day. I also say this. Times change. And I've been referring, and I need to get back there and get, and maybe somebody even knows the exact name of those folks, the group of people. The Bible says they had understanding of the times. Times change. Truth does not change. But time changes. Things changes in each generation. Things are different. Doesn't mean that they're right, but things are different. We got to meet and deal with people where they are. Try to help them where they need to be. And so, you know, you say, well, I wasn't like that 60 years ago, but look at me. It is like that now. So we're going to have to help them where they are, see? And some people get put out by that, but look, sin, there's no filter to sin. There's no limit to sin. And when a country and a nation turns its eyes and turns its focus against God and on everything else, it's a wonder that we're not in, and we're in bad shape, but it's a wonder we're not in worse shape than we are. And so we need to understand, we need to feel sorry for sinners. We need to understand they don't know any different. Lost people don't know any different. So I am thankful that we have a church here that is a pillar of light. We've got to keep giving light. We've got to keep. I got two phone calls today, and basically both of the same calls was asking about the same questions. Probably 20 years ago, if I'd have been early on in the ministry, I probably would have offended both of them today. I would have probably, because of pressure that I would have felt from somebody else, what somebody else thinks is right or wrong, I would have felt pressure to have probably answered their questions different than I did today. But you know what? I've learned in 20 years of ministry, if we're not going to help them, who is? We got to help them. And sometimes we look at lost people and think they should be as good as we are, and it's taken us 20 years to get there. And so I pray we realize we're living in a day where lost people do not understand the truth, and we are light. We should be sharing the truth, but here's the key, in love. In love. In love. I don't mind somebody telling me straight, and I need to hear it straight anyway, but it helps if I know they love me. Amen. That helps put a little bit of salve on it, even when they're scraping the scab off, right? Ripping you to pieces maybe, but you know, I don't mind every once in a while going home, and my wife, I know she loves me. She said, honey, now let me talk to you a minute. Well, I know what that means. Can I get a witness? Honey, can I talk to you tonight? Yes, dear. But you know what? If she didn't love me, you know what she could say? I don't care what you do. Go ahead and talk like that, offend people like that. Don't think about people like that. I'm glad she helps me. Because, you know, sometimes women are more sensitive to that stuff, and I'm glad she helps me. But anyway, Mark chapter 6. Look at verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came unto, notice this, his own country. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. one of the saddest verses in all the Bibles, verse 5. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. Now, I want you to think about something. In the light of this passage of Scripture, the Bible says he did no mighty work there, but he did heal some folks and touch them. Now, we might think someone getting healed is a mighty work, not according to this passage. He healed some folk, but the Bible said he didn't do any mighty work. He wanted to do much more mighty things. People get saved, maybe people called into the ministry, people to be his disciples, but he did no mighty work there because of their unbelief. But I want you to notice, I want to focus in on, really, verse number 4 tonight. A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Then I want you to notice in verse 1, and he went out from thence and came into his own country. I want to preach tonight on this, when Jesus is not welcome. When Jesus is not welcome. Now, here's what's amazing now. That's why it's important that you read the Bible. If you just read chapter 6, that don't make a whole lot of deal. Not a real big deal. You really won't understand the context. But in light of chapter 5, you have to understand the Lord Jesus is moving from place to place. And in chapter 5, he just was in the Gadarene. He was in the Gadarenian country. And he had just healed a maniac there. Then the Bible says he came over on the other side of the sea in chapter 5. And when Jesus passed over again the ship on the other side, much people gathered him, and he was nigh to the sea. I mean, people were just following him around. And then a woman comes up to him and said, look, I have a daughter. She's dead. Can you come and help her? He went to go that way, and a woman had just heard of the fame of Jesus, said, there's something special about this man. I've got to get to him. She had an issue of blood, and the moment she touched him, the Bible said she was healed. That was on his way to go raise a dead girl to life. So all these things are taking place. As all these things are happening, then you come to chapter 6. Chapter 6 says, and he went out from thence and came to his own country. And when he came to his own country, the Bible said they didn't even receive him there. He wasn't welcome. Now that's amazing to me to think that other people in other areas was receiving him. Other people was flocking him. Other people was absolutely flogging around him, knew, and look, the woman could testify. She said, hey, it's real. He healed me. I've spent every dime I had on doctors, but I just had to touch the hem of the garment. Jesus healed me. So it's amazing that others welcomed him, but these folks didn't welcome. And I ask you tonight, I pray we've come here tonight to worship the Lord. I really do. I hope we've come here tonight to worship the Lord. He is our Savior. He should be the master of our lives. But look, we're not a civic organization that is involved and getting involved in investing in the conducting community business, but we're a living organism. The church is a living organism, and we're concerned about heavenly business. Not earthly business, but we're concerned in heavenly business, and there's a difference, and we're a living organism, and we're not just trying to be some type of a civic organization. We're not here as like a good old club that people can come and we belong to a society. No, we're trying to get God's work done. And so when we think about that, we spend a lot of time in church, though. Don't we? I know who I'm speaking to tonight. You're the Wednesday night crowd. You're here tonight. You'll be here, most of you will be here Sunday morning at Sunday school. Then the rest will be here Sunday morning for church. And then you'll be here again Sunday night. I mean, about everyone that I'm preaching here tonight, you've pretty much proved that you spend a lot of time in church. My question for all of us tonight is, but is Jesus Christ truly our focus? Notice the Bible says in verse 1, Jesus came into his own and his own received him not. It's sad, but it's true. But if he came into his own, people that were familiar with him, people that could take him for granted, by the way, it's possible today for Tithonia Baptist Church members too. To simply just say, you know what, Jesus, you're just not really welcome tonight. I want to say, notice, when Jesus is not welcome, I want you to notice, number one, look at the place of Nazareth. This place, his own country, was Nazareth. That was his hometown. That would be like Hinton is to me. That would be like, hey, if you were raised in the valley, okay, Lookout Valley, that's your own country. You were born and raised there. That's your hometown. Just like Hinton is my hometown. I know the people in Hinton, and a lot of the people, of course, back then, I don't know as many now. I've been gone for about 20 years, but I want you to know, but I'm familiar with them. So first of all, I want you to notice that this place of Nazareth was familiar to Jesus Christ. It's where he grew up. They knew him. He knew them too. And, you know, he knew them well. And by the way, just an application for us tonight, he knows us real well too. He knows all of our secrets. He knows what makes us tick. He knows our fears. He knows our dreams. He knows our weaknesses. He knows. He is familiar with us. But my question tonight, are we familiar with him? Are we familiar with him? I'm going to be honest. It never ceases to amaze me. I don't ever really want to lose the shock factor, but it amazes me sometimes, and I'm sure I've done this to others. Maybe I've had a time of weakness and someone is talking to me, and maybe I'm speaking in a way of weakness, and someone says, well, preacher, I would have thought you'd have known the Lord a little better than that. You shouldn't be thinking like that. You shouldn't be talking like that. You shouldn't be acting like that. You ought to know the Lord better. And that is true. We ought to know him better. Is he familiar to us? In other words, they were familiar to him, but my question is he familiar to us? Do we know him? Do we know his heart? Do we know his heartbeat? Do we know his desires? Do you know what he really wants this church to do? Or do we have our own ideas, what we're trying to accomplish? What did Jesus Christ come to this earth for? It's very simple. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. So everything this church should be engaged in is because of his heart, his desire, and we want to win souls because that's why Jesus came. Now, if you talk to someone that Jesus is not real familiar to them, they're not going to be concerned about souls, because if you're familiar with Jesus, you're going to be familiar with his heart and love for souls. Are we familiar with him? Are we familiar with him? This place of Nazareth, it was familiar. By the way, Jesus knows all about us too, but I'm afraid that we see here, it is possible people just like us, people that he knows, in his own country, in his own place, where we get accustomed to things. I'm afraid it happened here, and it's very easy for it to be done here. I'm afraid there are far too many Christians that have just gotten comfortable and familiar with Jesus. Oh, that's just Jesus. Oh, we're going to church again tonight. We're going to church tonight. Yeah, I guess we better go to church tonight. You know what I see in America and see in our Christian church, see in Christians' lives and even in my life? I want you to know I'm afraid that we've grown so accustomed to attending services and living the Christian life. Here's what I'm concerned about. I'm afraid we have lost the awe and the wonder of our Savior. If you can talk about your Savior and not get excited about it, you've lost your awe. If you can get more excited about talking about your favorite hobby down here on earth and you can't even raise a voice or a voice inflection talking about the Lord, you've lost your wonder and your awe. I'm afraid that's where we're at. Hey, listen, most churches today, more people are more excited about coming in that church to talk about football, talk about race car, NASCAR, people talking about politics. Listen, it'd be a whole lot. Have we lost our awe and our wonder and our glory of just the one that saved us? Oh, that's just Jesus. Oh, I know I'm saved, Brother Mark. Just don't. I mean, you know. Now, you might get passionate about a preacher, but don't expect. No, I expect you to. I mean, I really do. I would expect a young person here, if you know Jesus Christ and what he did for you, I expect you to think he's wonderful. I really do. I think you ought to stand in awe of him every day. But what happens is we just get familiar with it. We just get used to it. We just kind of get, that's just Jesus. That's familiar to us. And I want you to know something. It was possible then, and it's possible now. And I'm afraid I've learned also that many Christians are not just having the victorious Christian life because they have just lost the awe and the wonder of it all. Gypsy Smith, you've heard it, he wrote a song. I've never lost the wonder of it all. An older gentleman preaching way up there. And I mean, I think he was up in his 80s, maybe his late 70s, early 80s, and a group heard him preach, and he preached with such fire. Man, he was, you know, wearing out a young man preaching so fast and so hard and so passionate. And they went up to him and said, "Brother Gypsy, how in the world can you still preach like that?" And he looked at him as an elderly man and said, "I'm going to tell you, boys, I've never lost the wonder of it all." And boy, you get around somebody that's lost it, you know it. You know when someone's lost the wonder. Oh, that's just Jesus. Yeah, I know. I'm supposed to get excited there, but I'm really not. Hey, listen, I'm telling you right now, this place of Nazareth was a familiar place. And I learned also by this that many, I'm afraid, have grown so accustomed, so familiar with trying to live the Christian life without the awe of the Lord. When's the last time you just broke down in tears? He's just blessed you so much, and you thought about how good he's been. You say, "Oh, Lord, I just want to tell you, I love you. I thank you for everything you've done. You're so wonderful." Try it. Try it. Don't be familiar with Jesus. They didn't welcome him because, oh, they were just familiar with him. Hey, number two, but I not only want you to notice the place of Nazareth, I want you to notice the people of Nazareth. Look at verses 2 through 4. The Bible says this, "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hear him were astonished, saying, 'From whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand?'" In other words, they're questioning him. But I want you to notice first, I want you to notice in verse number 2, "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach." Can I just say, look at these people's opportunity. I mean, now y'all, listen to me now. They were able to see the very God of heaven robed in flesh. They got to hear him speak. Can you imagine that? Could you imagine being able to be there that day and be able to sit there and listen? They got to. What an opportunity. But by the way, can I tell y'all, we have the same opportunity. We cannot see him in person, face to face. But I want you to know something. Every time we come to church, every time we open up the precious word of God, the very God of heaven speaks to us. That's great, preacher. Woo! That's great. There's more important things going on. I'm missing something on television. That's where we're at today. Oh, man. Maybe some of you young people are like, "Oh, I got to listen to another one of these sermons. I wish he'd hurry up." Well, I mean, you know, there's a whole lot worse things you could be listening to. What an opportunity you have. Can I just say this? What an obligation you have. I'm going to tell y'all something. If you've been a member of this church for 20 years, God help you in the day of judgment. God help you when you get to heaven and you stand before the Lord. And, of course, I'm not questioning your salvation, but I'm going to tell you something right now. If you've been in this for church for 20 years and you've heard what you've heard, I'm just going to tell y'all something. Y'all heard a lot. God shed a lot of light here on this church. And I could go back 20 years, but I know he shed a lot of light in the last 9 years. And I'm going to tell y'all something. God has given us much, and I'm going to tell y'all something, he's going to require much too. See, what happens is we just get familiar. I'm going to tell y'all, I'm going to be honest with y'all, I've been burdened about it. I've been praying, so man, we got to get these waters stirred. I'm going to be honest. I mean, I'd like some other people to get excited, not only pray, but you know how we get the water stirred? We get people, we go out and we invite people to church and we work at it and we work at it and we work at it and we get excited about it and we go out and we work at it and we work at it and we work at it and we start getting visitors in here. They get under the sound of the gospel and they get saved. And next thing you know, they start growing and say, "Hey, I want to follow the Lord in baptism." I mean, that's what excites us in church. That's what Jesus came for. But I see more people more excited about how high the gas prices are than someone getting saved. Say old me or old my or something. We spend more effort of not doing enough and wondering what can we do to get more than not going and doing what God told us to do. And we've got tracts, we've got hands, we've got mouths, and we ought to be going out inviting people. Sometimes people just think, well, I think people are just going to show up at church. Well, they ain't just going to show up. Many times they've got to be invited. Not by a picture either. Oh, God, I think I got a tract. My goodness, I got a pocket full of pictures. Conviction time. Y'all got any tracts in y'all's pockets? Good. Hey, listen, but I want you to know something tonight. What do we get stirred about? Is he welcome? You know why he wasn't welcome there? Because they'd gotten complacent. But not only that, he was familiar. But not only that, I want you to notice they just missed their opportunity. Here Jesus was teaching, commanding them. They, oh, he's down there teaching at the synagogue again. Whoop-dee, big deal. We have the opportunity to learn of Jesus, hear him speak. Every time we come to church, we hear him speak. Every time we read the Bible, just like them, we do not recognize the magnitude of our opportunity. What kind of attitude do we have before we get to the church? That matters too. If we've come here to worship the Lord, I'm going to tell you, and that's why I know I say this all the time, I really do. I know there's a lot of things going on here. I get that. We try sometimes. Someone said our Sunday's a work day. Well, it is a work day for people in the ministry. If you're serving the Lord, it's a work day. But God says, whosoever waiteth upon the Lord shall renew his strength. He'll help us. He's going to get us through the day. But I want you to know, when we come to church on Sunday, what's our attitude? Because I'm going to tell you something. If we come here with a poor attitude, don't expect God to do much. Why should he have to fight through that? How about church really ought to, the Lord's Day ought to start long before we walk through those doors. The attitude that we come here. Why? Because we need to understand, man, we're getting ready to walk into church and the God of heaven, we're going to get to go and worship him. We need to understand the magnitude of our opportunity. See, we live in a day where we belittle everything. Oh, that's no big deal. That's just another day. That's just another service. That's just another time we get to go to church. That's just another time the choir sings. That's just another special. That's just another piano special for the offering. That's the way we, that's just our nature. But Jesus wasn't welcome. Why? Because of their opportunity. They didn't understand. The place was familiar. But then I want you to notice these people, their immaturity. Look at verse 2, the second part of verse 2. Bible says, hearing him, they were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? In other words, now they start questioning his authority. In other words, this was Jesus Christ standing in their midst. They knew something special about this man because it says right there that where does these wonderful works come from? And by the way, I'll guarantee you if they were from Nazareth, they knew Jesus Christ's birth was different than everybody else's birth. They knew something was different about Jesus Christ. If anybody knew something different, they knew something different about Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. Yet they questioned his authority. I want you to notice something. Their spiritual condition wasn't mature enough to receive the words and the works that he did. I have a question for you tonight. Are you mature? Are you spiritually mature? Am I spiritually mature? I'm going to be honest. I believe many Christians never live the victorious life because they are completely satisfied with staying a baby Christian. How mature are we? Spiritually mature. Are you stronger, mature? Are you spiritually more mature today than you were yesterday? Have you learned from something throughout the day? I'm going to tell you real quick how you can tell whether people are spiritually mature or not. Just a couple places. First of all, when someone's always trying to buck authority in their life, they're spiritually immature. Why? They were bucking his maturity. They were bucking his authority. Who is he? Who's he got to tell me the right to do this? Who's he got to do this? No, look, he was just their master. I'll tell you another way you can tell is give somebody power and you'll find out how quick, how spiritually mature they are. I'll tell you another way you can find out if someone's spiritually mature. Try to help them and maybe have to rebuke them and see how they respond to that. I've learned with someone, and by the way, I've learned that about some people here, and I'm going to tell you something. Their response to me has shown me the caliber of people they are. But are we mature? I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to remain a baby Christian. I want to grow. I want to eat meat. If I need to get stung, let me be stung. And what I mean by that is, you know, y'all ever heard of growing pains? Pains to grow. God sometimes puts you through the ringer, but a mature person realizes he don't have to sit there and feel sorry for himself, Brother Ray. He knows that there's a greater God in heaven that's putting the pressure on him to make him stronger spiritually. But you know why they couldn't take it? Because they wasn't mature. They wasn't growing. They were immature. They were immature Christians, Brother Don. And to be quite honest with you, probably most of them didn't even know him. They didn't know him as Savior. So I want you to know one reason they didn't welcome Jesus because of their immaturity. Yet they questioned his authority. What about our maturity? Consider your life a moment. Let me consider my life just a moment. How mature am I? Am I growing? By the way, I've learned this. People that don't think they can get help from anybody, they're the ones that need the most help. I'm going to be honest. God says, what brings people to destruction? What brings people to a fall? That would be pride, right? And a haughty spirit. But who does God exalt? Who does God favor? People that are humble. I have to guard all the time being a preacher. If I'm listening to another preacher. You know why? Because I'm going to sit there and say, ha, I could have done better than that. Come on now. That's stinking pride. I'm telling you. And you know what? I'm going to tell you what that is. That's immaturity. I want you to know something. I want you to know that I believe many Christians in many times of my life, we have just simply failed to live a victorious Christian life because we're not willing to mature. We've got to mature. We've got to grow. You ought to know more about the Lord. You ought to learn something from yesterday that you didn't know yesterday, and you learned something. How can I be more like Christ? How can I be more like Christ? How can I be more giving like Christ? How can I think more like Christ? We ought to be maturing. Many fail to enjoy the victorious life because of spiritual immaturity. Quickly, these people at Nazareth didn't welcome the Lord because of their immaturity. They didn't recognize the responsibility. I want you to know this is their accountability. Accountability. Verse 4. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Boy, he gave them some solemn words. Solemn. He gave these folks here at Nazareth solemn words. They had witnessed his works. They heard him speak. But they rejected him. That's like me and you coming to church. We hear his word day in, day out, or week in, week out. We see his works. How many of y'all seen somebody get saved since y'all been here? Can I just help y'all with something? That's a miracle. I'm going to tell y'all something. If this church ever gets over that, we'll be finished. That don't happen every day. And when someone is passed from death into life, that's a miracle. That's a work that no man can do. Someone said the other day, well, you saved me. I said, honey, listen to me. And I knew it was a child. But anytime a child says that, y'all need to stop them immediately. You need to stop them immediately. Don't ever let them leave this building without setting them down. Say, honey, now listen, Miss Janet or, you know, Miss Janet, Brother Chris. Now, they might have led you to the Lord, but honey, they didn't save you. Because no man can say, we can't work that miracle, only God saves. But that's a miracle. How many of y'all seen somebody saved in your lifetime? You've seen God save them? How many of you have seen their lives changed? And you, can I help you? That's a miracle. That ain't of man, that's of God. Okay, so you've seen that. All right, how many of you have heard God's word? He's commanded you to do something, like be a soul winner or, you know, to be a giver. How many of y'all know God has spoke to you from his word before? Would you do that? Okay, now listen to me. We're all accountable for that. We can't deny what Jesus has done, but here's what these folks did. They seen his works and they heard his words, and yet they rejected him. But although they rejected him, Jailer, they're still going to be accountable for it. Jeremiah, everything you hear that's truth in this church building that passes through your ears, you're accountable for it. All of you church members that have sat in church for 30 years, 20 years, 40 years, 15 years, 10 years, listen to me. Every truth that has ever passed your ears and you've heard, you are going to be accountable for it. You're not going to go up to heaven and say, well, God, I just didn't know. No, 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 no. Wait a minute. He'll have it marked down. Nope. You were given light here. You were given light here. No, no, no. Wait a minute. I revealed that to you here. No, 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 no. Accountable. These folks were accountable for much. Why? Because they seen much. They knew him. But boy, the sad thing is, he was not welcome. And the Bible says he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Church, this Wednesday night crowd, my fear is we get too familiar. Just church. Just another sermon. Just another baptism. Just another choir special. Can I ask y'all, how many of y'all ever get blessed by the choir? Could y'all, look here, and I'm not making you do this, but you know, every once in a while, you know, y'all ever get happy and y'all might just put a little bit of emotion out there? Y'all got a favorite football team and maybe they score a touchdown. Does anybody ever say, yes? Does anybody, come on, be honest. I'll do it. Y'all do it? Okay. Well, can I ask all of y'all sitting out here, if a song in the choir touches you and after they're done, I'm going to just tell you what encourages the choir. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, and look, if that's not your personality, that's fine. But, I mean, I would think everybody get excited a little every once in a while about something. I mean, man, when they get to singing that song, God's been so good. I mean, my soul. Amen. How many of y'all believe God's been good to you? That's not just another choir song. That's another opportunity that we get to praise the Lord and just be reminded again that he is good to us. I think the young ladies, I think y'all are going to sing, Lord willing, I think some young ladies or some ladies are going to sing, did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him when I can't see a way, he made a way. Every time I sing that, man, I just get happy because I remember being in the dark. Y'all remember when y'all was in the dark? And you couldn't see and your life was all in a mess? Who pulled you out of that? Woo! At least a tear. Am I right, brother? I mean, something. A smile? Don't lose the awe. How many of you love the Lord and know he saved you? Amen. Don't lose the wonder of it all. That's all I'm telling you. I can't make you and you can't make me. But we sure can encourage each other to just keep the awe and the shock and the wonder of it all in front of each other. We want him to be welcome here. Y'all want him welcome here? So do I. Let's not get too familiar. Every Sunday is a wonderful opportunity. Every Wednesday is a wonderful opportunity. Don't lose it.